name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
You know how happy I am to have the Hallelujahs back. So, we're still immersed, aren't we, in Easter joy. But in this gospel, the disciples are still immersed in the sadness of the crucifixion. They're huddled up in that room, wondering what is going to happen to them, wondering if they too are going to end up on a cross. And we know, or we're told, that Thomas is not with them. So we think to ourselves, where on earth is Thomas? Well, as a chaplain at the hospital, dealing with death and grief just about every single day in the emergency room, I can tell you that there are many, many different ways that people grieve. Some people need to be by themselves. Some people need to be with others. Some people scream and shout and punch the walls. Some people stay very quiet without speaking. And it's interesting sometimes how we can judge people by the way they grieve. If they're not crying, we think, well, what's wrong with them? And if they're crying too much, we might say, well, what's wrong with them? Grief is odd, and it takes many, many forms. And I am quite sure that every single person in front of me today has, at one time or another, suffered from grief. And I will tell you something, that grief doesn't go away. You just get better at handling it. So don't let anybody tell you to get over it or to stop grieving. People should be giving you comfort and prayers instead. So there's Thomas. I think that he couldn't possibly cope with the death of his Lord. Thomas, after all, was the one who, when Jesus was going to Bethany to see Lazarus, who he had been told had died, Thomas said, I'm going to go with you, knowing that it was a dangerous thing to do, because the authorities already had their eye on Jesus. They already were plotting against him. And when Jesus went to Bethany, Mary and Martha were furious with Jesus, if you remember. Why didn't you come a couple of days ago? He's now in the grave 3 days and he's already stinking. They were mad. And another time in John's Gospel, we hear Jesus telling his disciples not to be troubled because he's going to go and prepare a place for them. And Thomas said, well, where are you going? Can I come too? And Jesus says, no, it's not your time, but I'm coming to prepare a place for you. So in this gospel, a lot of times when I have preached it, I have focused on Thomas. It's almost easier because I'm a Thomas. I may not look like Thomas, but I am a Thomas. I'm one of the ones who loves to squeeze the fruit, to sniff the fruit. I need to touch and see what's in front of me. I'm the one who will be touching the fabric, touching the yarn to feel it. I'm also the one who might see some fake pearls in the thrift shop, and very quietly I will take the necklace and bite on it. I know if they're real and if they're not. There's a difference. If my children are with me when I do this, they say, "Oh, Mom." And I remember, as some of you probably do, when they brought out the scratch and sniff books. Oh my. Scratch and sniff. Perfect for somebody like me. As I said, I'm a Thomas. But I don't really want to focus on Thomas this morning. I want to focus on Jesus. What did Jesus do when he entered that room the first time? Understanding what was going on in the minds of the disciples, he said, "Peace. Peace be with you." They were terrified. They were confused. They felt leaderless. They didn't know in what direction they were going. And Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be with you." A week later, when they're still up in the upper room, and Thomas is there this time, Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." Now I am quite sure that every single person here who's experienced loss, and what kind of loss am I talking about? Well, there's the obvious one, loss of a loved one, loss of a wife, loss of a husband, loss of a child. But there's the less obvious losses. Loss of a job, that means loss of income. Loss of a home. Loss of a spouse through divorce. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And he goes on to call on the Holy Spirit, and he breathes on his disciples. He breathes that holy breath so that they are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And why? They're strengthened by the Holy Spirit because they have a job to do. Jesus is going back to his Father in heaven, and he's leaving these disciples to do his work. He's leaving us to do his work. So he breathes on them and calls on to the Holy Spirit to be with them, just exactly as the Holy Spirit is called on us at our baptisms. And it's renewed again at our confirmation. For me as a priest, for Matt as a priest, it's renewed again in our ordinations. Where the bishop grasps us by the head, and I'm not saying gently either, and calls us to this new ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's the job that Jesus is giving his disciples? To be shepherds. To take care of the people. To forgive their sins. That's the job. One of the jobs that Jesus is giving. And this is just one of the last things that he's going to do before he goes back to heaven. He will spend more time with his disciples and for a little while, but in a little while he'll be leaving them. And in another part of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you and take you to me." If there's anybody here today who's grieving in any way, shape, or form, and I expect it's every single one of us, what a marvelous message that is. I am going to take you to myself and whisk you up to heaven. I'm going to take you myself. I've seen many people die. And one of the extraordinary things that happens in those very few seconds and minutes, it only lasts for about 30 minutes, There's a calm in a room, and very often the dying person will end their lives with a smile on their face. And I believe that it's because Jesus has come to take them with him. So as I said earlier, you will never stop grieving, but Jesus is with your loved ones. And that's what this message today, I think, is all about. Now, this Gospel of John is often called the Gospel of Signs. And that's a bit odd, because the signs that happen in the Gospel of John are actually miracles, but they're called signs. And Jesus performs many, many miracles, but in the Gospel of John, John says, I'm only going to talk about 7 of them. And because my memory is failing, I'm going to read them out to you. The very first miracle Jesus ever did, do you remember what it was? The very first miracle? This is a test. The water into wine at Cana. The next one he did was you may not know this one. The next one he did was he healed the royal official's son. That was in Capernaum. The next one he did that's in John is that he healed the paralyzed man who was sitting by the pool in Bethesda. Remember, he was sitting there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and Jesus came and healed him. Then the one that you all know, the feeding of the... Some of you will get an A for me. Not all of you. The fifth one in John's Gospel is when Jesus walked on the water. Do you remember that situation where there was a big storm and the disciples were in the boat and it was tossing and turning and lightning and thunder and they were terrified out of their minds? And Jesus comes walking towards them. And Peter is so excited that he jumps out of the boat and he tries to do the same thing. Well, guess what? He sank. Then there's the wonderful story of the healing of the blind man Bartimaeus. And then there's the one that I've already referred to, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And here's the interesting thing about that particular story. It is the first and only time that I'm aware of, and Matt will correct me if I'm wrong, because he was out of seminary after me and I've forgotten most of my lessons. The only time that Jesus cried. Jesus cried for his friend Lazarus. Jesus cried. I believe that Jesus cries for us. I believe that Jesus laughs with us. I believe that Jesus is with us in our anxiety and our confusion. Jesus is not absent, rather that Jesus is always there. Even though we might cry out and say, God, where the hell are you when this is happening? Like 9/11. Like what recently happened in Sri Lanka. What happened in our own country with synagogues and church burnings. We might cry out and say, God, where the hell are you? I know I felt like that. And yet Jesus says, I am with you to the end of time. I am with you till all the ages. And I will take you with me. And isn't that what these youngsters or adults had to say last Saturday? I believe. And God blesses us mightily as we say those words. Because unlike Thomas, who really saw Jesus, who really touched Jesus, who really spoke to Jesus. We have to use the eyes of our hearts, not our real eyes. We have to use the eyes of our hearts in faith to believe. And the comforting thing about that, take comfort in the story of Thomas, because at that time that he was ready or wanting to see Jesus, he didn't believe. But guess what? He was in the company of his friends, his fellow disciples that did believe. I remember when I was in seminary, we were expected to go to morning prayer. That I think was at 7:30, Matt? 7:30. But I was driving from Wilton to go to New Haven. It was a relatively long drive. And there were days that I was really pushing it and putting my foot hard down on the pedal to get there in time. And I'll never forget a priest saying, who was conducting the morning prayer that day, "It's okay if you come and you're half asleep, because we will hold you up. We will pray for you and with you." I was really comforted by that. And I really want to comfort you with that fact too, that if you're doubting today, and if you're mad at God today, and if you're confused or hurt or lonely or grieving, the rest of us will hold you up. The rest of us will hold you up. That's what community is about. Because we're not all on the same page. We're not all in the same place. But being together as disciples, we can support each other. But after that, what is God calling us to do today? God is calling us to get to work as disciples in the year 2019. Amen.